Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is brought to you today by PetMate Plastic Dog Crates, trusted providers of safety and comfort for your dog. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and this is part of a listener-requested topic, and we are speaking today with Dr. Jeff Schreiber, who is a specialist in veterinary dentistry. Cool. We haven't talked about this before. And so, welcome, Jeff. I'm really excited for you to visit with us a little bit about some topics that'll be of great interest to our listeners. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. So, tell us a little bit. You're working now for Veterinary Centers of America, but you practiced solo for, you told me, almost 30 years, right?
Correct. I had my own small animal practice, and we practiced as a general practitioner, and I developed interest in veterinary dentistry. Oh, back in 1984 is when I started getting interested, and then we really got into it 15 years ago or so. I'm not a board-certified dentist. I just have a real special interest in veterinary dentistry, and I've got a lot of lab hours and lecture hours and, of course, experience in the clinic. So,
right. Hands-on, I think, a lot of times is, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And you're located in or near Omaha, Nebraska, correct?
Yes.
Very cool. Very cool. Anybody out there in the middle of the country that's looking for a dentist? I got one for you. So first of all, let's talk about what can we as owners of dogs, pet dogs, show dogs, whatever, what can we do at home that manages our dog's teeth? Maybe even start with why is dental health important? Let's have a 2-minute thing on all the things that are important about keeping your dog's mouth up.
Well, you know, first and foremost is going to be to prevent pain or discomfort. So it's important that we realize that what goes on in the mouth affects the whole body.
Right.
I do a little lecture to our clients at the clinic with regard to this, and we call it the gateway to the body, the mouth being the gateway to the body.
Nice.
So everything that goes on in the mouth does affect the body, especially heart, liver, and kidneys. So it's very important that we keep the mouth as clean and hygienic as we can.
Excellent. Okay, very good. So tooth brushing. I mean, I'm sorry, I have a chihuahua. I can't even get my pinky in there. Talk to me.
Okay. So the first thing that I think everybody out there should understand is that gums, with the exception of dogs that are heavily pigmented, you know, some dogs have heavily pigmented gums or gingiva, mm-hmm. and it's hard to see the color of the gingiva, but usually there's areas where there's no pigment and you can get an idea of the color of the gums. Gum color should be coral pink, and that should be a knife edge of that gum line as it meets the tooth. As gums get swollen because of gingivitis or inflammation of the gingiva or gum tissue, they become rounded and puffy, and we lose that knife edge.
Okay.
So the first and foremost for everybody as far as oral care is concerned, the first thing to know is to lift up the lip of your pet and look in the mouth. So many owners aren't doing that, and they wait until our pets show us signs of discomfort, which we'll talk about.
Or their breath smells really bad.
Their breath smells bad. You know, they drop food. They chew on only one side of the mouth. I mean, there's subtle things that pets do for those really astute owners that watch their pets closely that are subtle signs of pain. But lifting up the lip, taking a good look at the gum lines, make sure that gum line is knife edge, make sure the color is coral pink, and that there's no offensive odor. If any of those apply, that would be a phone call to your veterinarian to seek professional advice.
Okay, very good. So what are our home care processes? What are your recommended to do at home? What's your homework for your clients?
Okay, so I break it up into active and passive activities.
Okay.
And an active activity is where you buy the product and you do the work, you mean the owner. And passive is where you buy it and your pet does the work.
I like that plan.
So when, yeah. So when we do active, you know, basically there's two major active things that we can do for our pets. One is brushing. Brushing will always be gold standard.
Okay.
And when we brush our dog's teeth, we want to brush at a 45-degree angle to the tooth structure. So those bristles get up underneath the gum line, which is where our problems start. And we want to use an enzymatic-based toothpaste. So when you're looking at the products, you want to look for the word like lactoperoxidase. There's a glucose oxidase out there. If you see the word that ends in A-S-E, it is usually an enzyme, so it's enzymatic.
Okay.
Remembering that plaque, which is caused by bacteria, is our enemy. And so anything that we do, whether it's passive or active, active as we're talking now, is directed to reducing plaque. So brushing with the enzymatic toothpaste will reduce plaque and thereby help to prevent gum disease.
So just like us, just like people.
Exactly. And then the other active one that we use a lot in our office is a rinse. I use a chlorhexidine rinse.
Can I just say, chlorhexidine is the greatest thing in the world. I love it. I use it for everything.
Well, you know, it is antibacterial, right?
Right.
And because it's antibacterial, it's going to reduce bacteria, thereby reducing plaque.
Yeah.
And we apply it along the gum line, and we don't need to give the dog a drink. We can just apply a little bit on the upper jaw and the lower jaw on the outside of the mouth. And the same thing with brushing. We brush on the outside. We don't really worry too much about the inside where the tongue lies.
Right.
The one exception to that, especially for the people that are showing in confirmation, are the incisors. And those I would brush both outside and inside.
Okay. And on the chlorhexidine, there is a specific dilution that you buy, right? That's for oral versus using in the ears or using on a wound or something like that.
Correct. The product I use is made by Siva.
Okay.
And it's called chlorhexidine rinse.
Yep, I've used it. It
comes with a nice adapter, makes it very easy. It's curved, makes it very easy to use. So ease of use usually correlates to owners being more apt to do it.
That's right. We need all the help we can get.
Exactly. I'm not a big fan of rinses that have just straight up tops on the bottles. Then you have to turn the bottle upside down, and then that's when you waste a lot of product. And for those breeds out there that have muzzle hair that isn't shaved.
Right. Beards. Thank you very much.
Yes. The chlorhexidine rinses, if you get that on a beard, like a bearded collie, for instance, you need to wipe it off pronto.
Okay.
Because it will dry. And for those animals that we're showing, that's not a fun thing to have happen.
Okay.
So.
That's good to know.
Yeah. If we're not showing for a while and you want to take a wet washcloth and wet down the beard and push it back towards his ears or her ears and then apply the chlorhexidine, that's fine.
Okay.
But if we're getting close to showtime and we just want to put some chlorhexidine in the mouth of the dog, you know, on the teeth, then just be careful and make sure to wipe it off.
How do you feel about the product that I've used also that I really found very helpful was it's like little gauze pads soaked in Chlorhex. I mean, I don't remember the brand, but it was very useful for a larger dog, particularly to be able to just kind of swipe around in there, and it did a great job.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay.
You know, you're doing two things. One, you're applying the product, and two, you're doing a little more active action in the sense that you're doing the mechanical movement of that applicator.
Right. Right. Okay. Very cool. And then, so you're staying on top of your dog and all is good and there's no grossness and there's no bad breath and everybody's happy. So what happens if you are the one who isn't doing that?
So there's the passive side of things, which everybody jumps on, right? Because
right.
It's easy. You just go buy it and you give it to your pet to chew on. And the one thing that I would focus on, there is a website, and I'm going to give it to you right now. It's VOHC.org, and that stands for Veterinary Oral Health Council.org.
Okay, great.
They have a whole list of products that have been approved by VOHC to show efficacy in removing plaque.
Oh, very cool.
So there's products on there such as Greenies. There's products on there like the Hills TD, the prescription diet TD's on there. There's a whole list, maybe 50 to 75 products that are out there for both dogs and cats, I might mention, to help with the problem of plaque buildup in their mouths. And I tell our clients that they should always do one active and one passive activity every day.
Wow. All right. That's good advice.
Statistically, there was a study done not, maybe 4 or 5 years ago now, where they compared brushing daily to brushing every other day. And statistically, there was no difference. So people brushing or doing active activity every other day would be acceptable, but doing it less often than that is, we're not accomplishing a whole lot.
Okay. So that random, I'd better scrape the tartar off the canines before I go in the ring thing, it's probably not cutting it.
Well, it may cut it for them from the standpoint of appearance, but you're not doing a whole lot for the health of your pet.
Okay. All right. Very good. And do you have any recommendations for exhibitors who want to actually try and, if you will, scale their teeth or, you know, do that kind of thing at home? Is that something you encourage, discourage? How do you feel about that?
Well, I've been to numerous conferences where the subject of anesthetic-free dentistry has come up or anesthetic-free dental cleanings have come up. And that's a no-no.
Okay.
These instruments that we use to clean dogs' teeth, and I'm probably speaking more to the owners that aren't in a show ring. They just, you know, have got
a pet owner,
somebody that offers it in their area.
Mm-hmm.
And those instruments, those scalers and curettes, for instance, are very sharp.
Yes.
And they can cause a lot of damage in the animal's mouth and a lot of pain. And we just don't want to be using those instruments in an awake animal in a manner such as that. We're not doing good, thorough periodontal cleanings by using those tools.
Okay. All right. Very good. Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. Heads up, crew. Join our patrons today. Get immediate access to the support of a closed Facebook chat group, special patrons-only episodes, free mentoring sessions, and more. Just like the NPR of dogdom, Pure Dog Talk brings you the news, the knowledge, and the insight to succeed with your purebred dog. In exchange, our Pure Dog patrons share the love with monthly or annual gifts, and that helps defray the cost of overhead and sort of keeping the MP3s rolling, you know? Hit me up, Laura at puredogtalk.com, and I'll hook you up with the details. So we talked a little bit now earlier, and I want to kind of come back to it. Signs that you've got a problem. The bad breath, obviously, is a dead giveaway when my pug breathes on me and I say, oh boy, you know.
Sure.
Chewing or maybe not eating as well, some of that. What other kind of things can we run into that would give us an indication that we've got a problem we need to check out?
Well, certainly bad odor.
Mm-hmm.
Bad odor is a tip-off. The dog's breath should not be like a sewer type breath, very offensive.
Right.
That indicates that we've got some bad bacteria in the mouth that should not be there. Blood.
Oh.
Blood on toys or blood on other types of chewing toys the dogs chew on may indicate that we've got some gum disease. Certainly dropping food out of their mouth, maybe not even wanting to chew on hard food, and they prefer soft food over hard food. Those are all signs that the pet should be looked at by a professional to deem if further work needs to be done in that mouth. Our pets are very stoic. They don't show pain very well.
Right.
And I see this every single day in clinics where we have pets that come in that have some form of pathology in their mouth and owners never knew about it for various reasons. And so they need to be looked at both by owners and professionally by veterinarians at least every year. I do dental exams on our pets that come through our office every 3 to 4 months to stay on top of dental problems.
I mean, that's the thing. We have to stay on top of it, I think, is the biggest thing. And so when your dog goes in for a dental cleaning and you recommend this, how often or only when necessary, or what's your kind of schedule? And then what are you able to do there in the clinic?
So if we've had our discussion with regard to the need for a dental cleaning, or I like to call it a periodontal cleaning, I will do some preliminary blood work or labs. We'll take some x-rays of the chest if need be. And if there's any underlying issues, we need to address those before we subject the pet to an anesthetic period. And then during the period of dental cleaning, we're going to, number one, probably the most important thing is to take intraoral radiographs or x-rays, just like our dentists would on our own mouths.
Mm-hmm.
60% of that pet's tooth structure is underneath the gum line, and it needs to be evaluated. Anybody that does not take intraoral radiographs is selling our pets short because they're missing potentially 60% of disease in that pet's mouth.
Oh, wow.
So radiographs are extremely important. And then, of course, looking at the teeth with our eyes. I use loops, magnifying loops with a headlamp.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can see things very well. And each tooth, you know, dogs are supposed to have 42 teeth, and each tooth is a patient in and of itself and has to be evaluated as such.
That's cute. I like that. That's very good. Okay, so you take a look at the teeth, you clean the teeth, you maybe pull some if need be. What qualifies as an emergency? So my client dog is crazed and is trying to break out of his crate and broke a canine. I mean, that kind of a thing. What kind of a situation do you think of as an emergency?
The biggest emergency, and I've seen this happen a lot, breaking a tooth, a canine tooth, and a crate wire or in a run.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that happen to my dentist, my own personal dentist. He has German short hairs.
Yes.
And it happened to one of his. If you can catch it within the first day, that needs to be seen immediately. We do have a little window there where we can bring the pet in. If it recently happened, like happened this morning, and now it's, you know, early afternoon, we can go ahead and get that animal under anesthesia. We can clean that tooth, and we can do what's called a vital pulpotomy and save the tooth from the root canal and also save the tooth. And a vital pulpotomy is not nearly as invasive or extensive as what a true root canal would be. So
wow.
We can save that tooth.
Now that is new information to me right there. Listeners, heads up. I didn't even know this one. So you actually, if you catch it soon enough, can save those big broken canines when they do it.
Exactly. Without having to do a root canal.
Awesome.
Now, if it's over 24 hours or so, let's say it's been a week.
Right.
Or 2 weeks.
Right.
And the owner noticed a broken canine, like happened with my dentist. He brought his short hair in, and vital pulpotomies are no longer an option because breaking that tooth exposes the pulp chamber, right? That's
right.
What the blood and nerve supply is in the tooth. And it's just the same as an open wound on your hand. If you fell and scraped your hand or cut your hand and there's an open wound, it needs to be dealt with. And the same thing with the dog. So at that point in time, that dog had to have a root canal done, and we went in and cleaned that pulp chamber out. You can't sterilize them, but we try to get them as virtually free of bacteria as possible. Then we seal them, and we put a permanent filling on the top to save that tooth from, hopefully, further bacterial invasion and potential loss of tooth. And for those that are showing, or those that want the tooth to look like it did before it got broken,
right,
after the root canal is done, the tooth can be prepped for a crown, just like in a human.
Huh.
So that tooth can be crowned and made pretty close to the way that it was before it broke. In our police dogs, they will, I don't do this, but the crowns they use there are of a metallic nature because they use those canines as part of their, you know, they need those, right? When they're out
right.
chasing the bad guys.
Wow.
So they usually put on some type of a metallic crown, so that tooth is still functional.
That's pretty amazing. See, the greatest thing about this job, I'm going to have to tell you, Jeff, the best thing about my job, I learn something new literally every single day. And that's a new one for me.
Well, that's good.
It's fabulous.
That's good.
Awesome. Okay, so here's one. This is always going to be a sticky wicket, so we're just going to hit it head on. People will always say, oh, it's expensive. I don't want to go get my dog's teeth cleaned because that costs a lot of money. Talk to us about why it's so important and why it's a good investment.
Well, they're right. It is expensive. Let's get that out in the open. It's not an inexpensive thing.
No.
However, if the owners are practicing good oral hygiene at home, they will reduce the frequency of teeth cleanings that need to be done or lengthen the time between teeth cleans,
mm-hmm.
and that will save them money in the long run. The longer we neglect our pet's teeth, the old saying, clean the teeth that you want to keep.
Right.
If you don't want to keep them, don't worry about them because you'll end up losing them. So what I try to show owners is we use a series of pictures. I've got a 50-inch TV that we put pictures up on, and I explain to them what periodontal disease is all about. This is an extremely painful process for the pet, and there isn't a pet owner out there that wants their animal to be in pain. And pain is number one. I just saw a gentleman with a 5-pound Yorkie. The Yorkie's name's Gus. Yesterday on a follow-up after his second stage of teeth cleaning, he had, I think we've removed 18 teeth on this dog. Unfortunately, he didn't know a whole lot about oral home care and didn't use it. And so Gus has had a lot of teeth extracted. And he says, I've got a puppy back.
Yeah.
And when I hear that, you know, there's not a price in the world that you can put on that. That's what it's all about, right? We want pain-free, happy pets that enjoy life. And when they have bad mouths, it's easy for owners to say on those 12-year-old dogs, well, they're just getting older.
Right.
But age is not a disease in and of itself. So there's a reason. And it's up to us as health caregivers, both owners and veterinarians, to try to figure it out and do what we can do to get that pet back pain-free.
I like that. That's excellent. Well, Jeff, this has been absolutely perfect. This is just what I was hoping to be able to share, and I appreciate you so much. Listeners, clean your dog's teeth. It will save you money. Thank you, Jeff. I really, really appreciate your time.
You're very welcome, and if there's any further questions that owners have, feel free. They can call me. I can give out a phone number. They can call.
Excellent. Well, I will include information. We have a blog post that goes up with the podcast on the website, and I'll include your contact information and some other resources. If you can email those to me, that'll be perfect.
Awesome. We shall do so.
Excellent, Jeff. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again, I suspect.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Petmate's tip of the week is keep your dog safe in your home and your home safe from your dog by crate training your puppy so he's happy, comfortably snoozing away while you run errands, pick up the kids from school, or even enjoy a date night. It's bad enough to come home to garbage strewn all over the house, but if your dog eats the wrong thing, his mayhem can turn deadly really fast. Check out Petmate's Plastic Kennels, a safe and secure home for your dog. Just click the link at www.puredogtalk.com/partners and use promo code PUREDOG for special savings only for you guys, Pure Dog Talk listeners. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.